Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Years ago, Sean McVay named you as the toughest defensive coordinator to go against in his mind. What makes him so tough to go against?
He's got a great offense that he has great command of, and he's a really good play caller during the game. You know, he can change gears on you at a moment's notice, and he's one of the top play callers in the league for sure, you know, without a doubt.
The voice of Vic Fangio talking about Sean McVay. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That gets you aboard. Confident, nervous, where do you come down? Eagles, Rams on Sunday. Hugh's confident. I do have a lot of nerves about the game. I think this is going to be a close one. Kyle, way overconfident there. We got to get to our Twitter poll in a second here. But Hugh, what this matchup is really as good as it gets. Fangio, of the last 30 years, has been right there as one of the top defensive minds in the league. And McVay has shown now over 8 years, two different quarterbacks. He's really good at calling plays. Like, this is a great matchup between those two.
Yeah, so much so that there was a lot of assistance for Sean McVay that got jobs rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And like you pointed out the other day, he's not that old. Hasn't been in the league that long. So, yeah, he's one of the brilliant minds in the NFL. And there was even talk whether or not he was thinking about retiring when Aaron Donald retired.
Some thought he would go to Amazon.
Yeah. He didn't do any of that, man. So, yeah, he's a good coach, man. He's a really, really good coach. Matthew Stafford, a lot of people feel that with his Super Bowl win that he's a Hall of Fame quarterback now. But like I said, I think that their game is predicated on more passing than anything. That's, you know, when you think about the Super Bowl win, that's basically what they were missing. He was the missing piece to help get them over the hump. So, you know, there's that. But going into this game, I don't think the weather is going to permit them to be the dynamic offense or the prolific offense that they want to be. You know, you talk about Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua out there and their Higbee, the tight end. Mm-hmm. I don't think this weather is going to be, you know, favorable for what they want to try to do.
So I went back and looked. So McVay and Fangio have faced off five times. The most famous one was 2018. That was the year the Rams made the Super Bowl. I think they were like 11-1. They were scoring 40s and 50s. Their offense that year was kind of like the Lions this year. They were the best offense. They went to Chicago in a Sunday night game in December, and Fangio's defense shut them down. It kind of led the blueprint for Belichick to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. So that's like the most famous one.
Mm-hmm.
But I went back and looked. I wanted to see like who's really won this when they faced off. So they faced off five times. So Fangio's won three of the battles. His team has won three times. McVay's won two times. They faced off early when McVay was the coordinator of the then Redskins, then now the Commodores in Washington. So McVay lost the first time to Fangio in 2014. That was when Fangio was still with the Niners. Next couple times, McVay got him when he was in Washington and Fangio had went to Chicago. And then Fangio got him back in 2018, Bears-Rams. And then they didn't face off again until this year when they faced in November. And obviously Fangio won that. So the advantage has gone to Fangio. It's 3-2 in the five games. So we'll see how game number six plays out between these two. Now, one element that's different this time than the last time we saw them in November is we don't have N'Kobe Dean. Let's hear Jason McCourty, ESPN, talking about N'Kobe's absence in this matchup here.
You watched that last game, and you watched N'Kobe Dean and the impact he has. I met with Zach Bond earlier this season and asked him about N'Kobe Dean. He said, listen, he doesn't get the praise that I've gotten this season. He said he wears the green dot. He is the leader of this defense.
Yep.
So it's a great point. Oren Burks has done a good job filling in. He just doesn't have the same feel as N'Kobe Dean when he's flying downhill. And I love the point you made about the negative plays, because when I looked at that game for the Rams, they were on schedule when Stafford was getting the ball out quick. And we saw them this past week against the Vikings where it was those intermediate routes and being able to get the ball down the field. That first game versus Philly, when he was successful, it was passes under 15 yards and getting the ball out right now because of the way the Philadelphia Eagles play defense. Off coverage, two high safeties.
Yeah.
Now when you get the ball out quick, it forces to move them up. The plus 15-yard pass, one of them was a 27-yard pass with a minute and 12 left when the game was already over. Yeah. So if you want to stay out of those situations, let Stafford throw it on first down.
All right, Hugh, what do you think McVay's going to try to do to get N'Kobe's spot in trouble, whether it be Burks, whether it's Trotter? You think they're going to throw to the backs out of the backfield?
They probably will. You'll probably try to spread them out if you want to and try to put one of them in coverage and try to get them that way. And if you do that, then you're basically in a passing formation, and now you're letting these Eagles defenders get after you a little bit. It's going to be interesting, man, because a lot of times, you know, in order to do that, you're going to have to, you know, go four or five wides and then use the running back, probably put him in motion and get him out of there. And you're emptying the backfield, so that means that, you know, the guy's going to pin their ears back and get after you. I don't know if they want to take those chances. I think that, you know, on our side, Coach Fangio is going to do a pretty good job of disguising or trying to help whomever is going to be out there playing linebacker and keep them, you know, from being exposed, because he's done a pretty good job of that. You know, when you talk about the way that N'Kobe Dean has played, I mean, he's a good cover guy, but he ain't the greatest guy in coverage.
Ross Tucker said that to us earlier this week, too. Yeah, like, that's not his strength as much as stopping the run.
Yeah, so, but, you know, and you like the fact that N'Kobe really flashed when he was playing downhill. And he's making plays in the hole. So that's what you hope that these other linebackers can bring to the table, and they have enough instincts to know what to do in certain passing situations. And I think they do.
So Josh Jacobs on Sunday had three catches for 40 yards. I would think that they're going to try to attack, whether it be Trot or Burks in there, and throw to the back. The other thing that happened this past Sunday is the Eagles missed more tackles in the game Sunday against the Packers than they had in a while. They got to clean that up. I mean, that's not – Hugh, they had been for like 3 months, like the best tackling team we've seen around here in a long time. I don't know if last Sunday was
rusty.
Russ, N'Kobe going out.
Yeah, okay. A little bit of rust. It just was more prevalent with the quarterback as it was to anybody else, because, you know, he's the guy that we focus on for the most part. So we looked at him, and we kind of harped on that more than anything this week.
Oh, you mean the rust all around?
Yeah, rust all around.
Yeah, that could have been it. Well, hopefully that's cleaned up, because they there's little things that could keep this or make this close, however you feel about it. Like, instead of a tackle on third and three to get him off the field, he breaks a tackle, Kyren Williams. They have a first down, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we didn't get the ball back. Like, little things that they need to make sure they do well that they didn't do as well last week.
Yeah, I think they'll shore that up. They'll be fine.
The N'Kobe thing, in my opinion, is a huge deal. Not necessarily this week, though, for me. Like, I guess
Jahmyr Gibbs next week?
Well, yeah. Like, I would worry about it 10 times more against Ben Johnson in that dome, against Gibbs. Montgomery's going to be back.
Fast track.
That, to me, presents a massive problem. Like, while I think McVay, under normal circumstances, would be able to exploit that kind of thing, I just don't think that's... I don't know. Like I said, I don't think the Rams' offense is going to be that able to really get off the ground much in this game.
Mm. Well, I hope you're right about that. And if they're not, the Eagles will be okay. 215-592-9494. What are you feeling more about the matchup versus the Rams? It is our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Confident or nervous, 73% confident in the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. Only 27%, Hugh Douglas, are nervous. 73% confidence.
No, that's good. That's good. I mean, you should be. I mean, if this game plays out the way that we think is going to play out, and they do the things that we know they've done in the past, this should be a no-brainer. I'm not saying what the score is going to be right now. I think it's going to be a really good game. Hmm. But I think the Eagles prevail in this.
So I was starting to try to feel a little bit better, and then I just saw this. You know, I said earlier that Kyle was overconfident, was making me nervous.
Yeah.
Some callers are. Our own Jack Fritz tweeted this. Given how scary the Rams now are to everyone in the national media, I've never been more confident that Sunday is going to be a blowout. Let's grow up. All right, so that's right.
Jack don't like the Eagles, man. Like, Jack.
He can't run from those allegations, can he?
He can't. He don't like the Eagles, man. He just, you know. He don't like the Eagles.
I sort of agree that I think
he definitely doesn't like Jalen.
It's going too far the other way. Now all of a sudden the Rams are like, watch out for the Rams. Like, okay.
Well, I get it, though. They're a team that's won a Super Bowl. And there's not many teams in the playoffs that are Super Bowl winning coach and quarterback, right? They kind of fit the profile of...
That's cute, but they're 10-7 in a bad division.
Well, they are. They did start 1-4, though. I mean, if we put context to it, right?
Well, like, started 2-2.
I know, but the Eagles are looked at as obviously a Super Bowl
team. Well, they should be. That's where I think, like, here's where I think Jack's point is correct. Like, now all of a sudden the Rams are just like the watch out for team. We're just the better team. And I think people are more leaning into the whole narrative that, you know, the Rams been there, done that, where now they're starting to forget just how good the Eagles have been this year.
And perhaps ignoring what they did to them in November.
Of course. And you could say the Rams are a different team than that week. But you could argue the Eagles are, too. I mean, both teams have only lost one game since then. The game the Eagles lost, our backup quarterback was in.
That it is. I mean, you're right. Since September, they haven't lost at all with Jalen on the field for a full game. 215-592-9494. Aaron's up on WIP. What's up, Aaron?
Good afternoon, Philadelphia. It's Fired Up Friday.
Is it?
Is this supposed to fire me up, Aaron? I need a little juice, need a little energy here.
Joe, I got to tell you, you know, I listened to you and you've gone from negative Nelly to nervous Nelly. You know, you, the way you've been acting lately really reminds me of a character from the cinematic masterpiece Rocky Balboa, where Rocky's son is crying about how the world isn't fair and he's gotten a raw deal and everything like that. And I'm going to tell you what Rocky told his son. This world is a mean and nasty place. And if you let it, it'll beat you down. But you know what, Joe? That's how losing's done. And our birds aren't losers. Winning isn't about being at the top of the mountain and throwing for 400 yards and running for 100 yards. Winning's about what you do when you get knocked down. And that's why Jalen Hurts is a winner. All he did last week is rise up from the concussion protocol ashes and let his team out that tunnel and nailed the coffin shut for the Packers season.
Too late now.
I'm going to put the Rams on notice right now. Kyle, you got the music?
There's no easy
way out. Rams, what? There's no shortcut.
Give me Batman and the emergence of an intellectual Batman. AJ Brown, you go with your bad self, educate yourself. And the gangrene defense 2.0. Rams, there's no easy way out. There's no shortcut home. You're going to have to take it like a man this weekend. Let's go. E-A-E-L-E-O.
Aaron, appreciate the phone call.
No, we appreciate the phone call. That was... You need to work on that, though.
So I have to critique that.
You need to work on that, dog. You need to work on that.
I love the premise, right? I love when we throw the Rocky stuff in.
Yeah, but that song right there.
So, but he went to one of my favorite scenes in any of the Rocky movies, which is Rocky with his son, right? And they're outside, and he's basically telling him, it doesn't matter how hard life hits, it's about getting up, right? That's the whole thing.
Yeah, about how hard it is you get up. Yeah.
But he didn't even drop the best line of it. It ain't about how hard you hit, it's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you could take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
That was the thing. And just as a side, when Kyle plays a song, in order for it to hit different, you gotta be louder than the music.
Yeah.
Dog.
Well,
like
so,
that, you know what I mean?
And I know you were sitting there calling for the music. Aaron had already prepared me for what he wanted to do.
Yeah, I kind of killed
the
bit a little bit.
Got this back there.
I killed the bit a little bit. I apologize, but
all
still.
Right. Also, how do we feel about using two different Rockies for the analogy? Because he was in Rocky Balboa, and then he went back to Rocky IV. I mean, you confuse
I mean, that's
people.
Okay, because Rocky plays well here, so I'm not
No,
too
I know. I mean, I'm all for the Rocky stuff. It's just...
Yeah, so we could mix movies.
We mixing them?
Yeah, because one of my favorite lines is, look here, woman.
Oh, no.
Clubber?
Hey, woman, look here, woman.
Clubber would have been canceled so quickly in 2025.
Nowadays,
he's real man.
Oh, yeah.
We're about the franchise. Doesn't just have to be.
I know. I'm just trying to follow it. And I'm picturing older Rocky with his son. Then all of a sudden, we're back in Rocky IV. And it's no easy way out.
Yeah, we need to stop pumping that a little bit.
Well, now I'm waiting for Kyle to drop the, you know, I'm afraid. I mean, because that's how I feel.
I'm afraid.
I'm afraid.
That was
I'm
you
afraid.
Last week.
And it was Hugh last week. Hugh was terrified. He didn't want to admit it. At least I'm
terrified. I wasn't terrified. I'm just,
at least
listen,
I admit I'm afraid.
I was the one that told y'all that Jalen was going to be rusty. Then y'all the ones that didn't see it coming. I tried to help y'all out.
Well, that's what I'm doing today. I'm trying to get everyone just to calm down and expect a tight game on Sunday. And I got everyone saying, oh, it's a blowout. And Jack over there saying it's a blowout. I mean, does that make you feel better that Jack Fritz is calling for an Eagles blowout on Sunday?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Let's go to the phone lines here. Ken in Cinnaminsa. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey, Ken. What's up?
So, first of all, let me get this out of the way. There is not going to be 4 or 5 inches of snow, okay? I am guaranteeing you no more than an inch and a half of snow on Sunday. And it probably won't even really start to accumulate until the sun goes down. So I'm looking at the Euro model for snow right now on my computer, which is the most accurate model by far, and it is the main model that is used for forecasting snow, and it has been consistent all week long, right about an inch. They use two models, the Euro and the GFS. They hype the GFS because that keeps you tuning in to the local news every night as they forecast snowmageddon. Just to put a little perspective on it for you, last Saturday night, remember we had that little coating of snow overnight Saturday night while we were all asleep?
Yes.
This time last week, the GFS was calling for 30 inches of snow that last Saturday night. So all meteorologists know that the GFS is broken. Rely on the Euro. There won't be more than an inch and a half of snow at the most.
Okay, so that makes me feel better. I wasn't really looking forward to the drive home after the pregame show in the snow, so I like that. But I would like a snow game. I mean, that's fun to watch.
That said, it doesn't matter. They could be playing this game on the sun. I don't know why all of a sudden we are turning this version of the Rams into the greatest show on turf. That Green Bay team was actually a better football team than this Rams team. That Green Bay team that just came in here last week. Now, Matthew Stafford's a better quarterback than Jordan Love, but that Green Bay team was a better team. That Green Bay defense was a better defense. You really need to go to like electric shock therapy or something like that and have that Monday night game just erased from your brain so you will not be convincing yourself that there is any possibility that the Rams are going to rack up 9 sacks against this offensive line. And I know OG Wade's got his 4-point system. I'm going to give you my 1-point system because it works every time in every game of football that's ever been played. Win the line of scrimmage. You win the line of scrimmage, you win every time. The Eagles are going to win the line of scrimmage. I don't know what it is you think you see in this Rams game that has you so terrified. I am not dismissing the Rams. The gap between the Eagles and the Rams is just that big. Like, now, you know, the Rams are – Kyle said it perfectly. I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth in a sentence. But Kyle said it perfectly. The Rams are the team that everybody, oh, look out for the Rams, look out for the Rams. The Eagles have been that team since week 5, okay? So what's hotter, winning your last 5 games or winning 12 out of your last 13?
Well, 12 out of 13, of course. I mean,
and the only game that you lose, your quarterback gets knocked out in the first quarter, and you still win the game. If Devontae Smith doesn't drop a pass that he catches 99 times out of 100, 999 times out of 1,000, probably. So, Joe, I don't know what I need to do to make you feel better, other than the fact that I feel better by the fact that you feel worse.
Well, that's what I'm here for, Ken. Then my job's done for the day. Ken, we appreciate the phone call and the forecast. Can I ask a question to everyone then? So, Ken, and I think a lot of people are making the gap between these two teams huge. And I will say right now, the Eagles are better. The Eagles are a better team. They obviously should be favored. How come there's 2 games this week where another team is favored by more than the Eagles? Why aren't they favored by more?
The Eagles?
They're only favored by 6.5 points. So they beat this team by 17. Like, Ken painted me as overreacting to the Rams' resurgence here. Why aren't the Eagles 7.5, 8-point favorites in this game?
Probably because of the weather. Well, even though, you know, you talk about the game up north up a little bit further, it's about what's the point spread with that one? It's a little bit higher.
No, with the Baltimore?
Yeah.
They're favored by 1.5 over the Bills.
Okay.
So the two bigger spreads this week are Lions are 9.5 over the Commanders, and the Chiefs are 8.5 over the Texans. Like, why aren't we that much of a favorite over the Rams?
Because I would say, you look at these two teams and the weather, I would think mostly factored into this game would probably be the weather with the Eagles.
Like a
and
lower
you talk
scoring
about,
game?
You talk about Kansas City. Like, let's be honest. And, I got family in Houston. Houston ain't – a lot of people thought Houston wasn't supposed to be there.
Oh, they're not very good. But neither are the Rams, right? Like, the Rams are like the Texans a little bit.
I think – because the quarterback – I think it's the quarterback and the coach.
So, well, okay. Then that's it.
It's the quarterback and the coach and the inclement weather.
They're the fear point.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think 6.5 is like insignificant. I think that's a pretty decent point spread for the postseason.
Sure.
But we can also go back to, this might have something to do with it, the last time we played them, when we were on the road, we were -2.5.
Mm-hmm.
So that's adding 4 points to the 2 for home field and then 2 more. So, like, I don't think that's, I don't think that's low, to be honest.
But the resume, if you didn't know anything about these two teams, one team was outscored this year. One team won 10 games. One team has a 100-plus point differential. They've won 15 games now.
Yeah.
One's at home. Like, it looks like it should be over a touchdown. Well, like, something's weird about it.
So, it could also
maybe
have a lot
weather.
It could have to do with the fact that, the Eagles didn't particularly play well last week, and the Rams did.
Well, that's...
Yes. Didn't think about that part. Yeah, that's...
I think that's fair, but I'd still hammer the 6.5.
I wouldn't, because obviously I think it's a close game.
Alt spread -10.
Oh, no, stop that. 215-592-9494. Let's go to David, who's up next on WIP. What's up, David?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good,
thanks,
David,
for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
Not much. So I've been listening to you guys. I'm a diehard Rams fan ever since Eric Dickerson. And I have a little bone to pick with you, but more or less it might be more with Eagle fans and the guy who took my call on the show. It feels like we're getting a lot of disrespect for my team. It seems like, Eagle fan thinks we're playing a JV team on Sunday. And, I got to be honest with you, you guys definitely manhandled us the first game, no doubt, on both sides of the line. Not to make excuses, but our offensive line was in flux. New guys, moving guys around. Our defense is now playing much better. Tyler Higbee's back. And we do have the coach and Stafford. So the lack of respect that I think my Rams are getting is a little bit insulting because – we do have a chance to win this game, and it is going to come down to the run defense on our team. You guys got, a great offensive line, much better than Minnesota, but I think we're getting a little disrespected, guys.
So David, with everything that you just said, how am I being disrespectful? Because you just said we kicked y'all ass. So what am I supposed to say after we kicked y'all ass to give you respect? Help me out. Help me do the show. What am I supposed to say about your team that you just didn't say?
Okay. So, that did happen the first game. And it could easily happen this game as well. But the difference is it's playoffs, Hugh. And I think that there's no doubt that we're going to be scheming the game much better than we did. Verse and Young were over-pursuing to the left and to the right, and they weren't staying in their formation, staying where they're supposed to. We do have another linebacker back, and I do believe that we're going to call a much better game than we did. We got out-coached as well. So one thing McVay is a master at...
Damn, you're giving me more ammo, not to be disrespectful.
More ammo is getting humble, but I think you guys... are being playoffs is a different animal, Hugh, and you know that. And I think I'm going to be calling back on Monday.
We hope you call back on Monday. After you take this ass whooping, that's
gotta
fine.
Say I doubt
We respect that.
If you call back and it's an ass whooping, you're one of the first ones up, David. We appreciate it. Actually, listening to a Rams fan, that's the best call we got all day in terms of making me feel better. He didn't scare me. That guy didn't scare me. I feel better now. You guys did nothing.
I'm telling you, they don't have a shot. They have chance.
Talk about being disrespectful.
They have the better coach and quarterback in the game. They have a shot.
I don't care.
See, I was just turning the corner, and then I have to hear that they have no shot?
That's what I'm here for.
Oh, God. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up next hour, guess the takes for divisional round weekend in the NFL, and a same-game parlay for the Eagles and the Rams. How do we see it playing out, and how are we putting together our parlay? That's all coming up. But, Hugh, before we go any further here, we have we got to talk about this. We mentioned it yesterday, but it continues. And that's Kellen Moore spending some time late this week on interviews. Adam Schefter tweeted out an hour ago. He's doing his Cowboys interview today. Kellen Moore today as Eagles wrap up preparation for the Rams, doing an interview for the Dallas Cowboys head coach. Now, let's listen last night, NFL Network, Kellen Moore's chances to be the next Cowboys head coach.
First of all, we spent a lot of time on this show, and there's been a couple other shows that have mentioned this. The Deion Sanders proponent of the Cowboys coaching search, and that has obviously generated a lot of the headlines and a lot of the focus. Kellen Moore should be at least in that conversation, probably more. I mean, this is someone who is considered to be a top candidate for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not saying the top candidate, just certainly someone to watch and discuss and consider moving forward. It's not just that they know him as, he's been an assistant there. He grew up in the franchise. He was a backup quarterback to Tony Romo and then got injured. And then somebody named, Dak Prescott. Yes, Dak Prescott took over, and the rest is history. Dak knows him well. They have a great relationship. So, yes, they are going to interview him. That is going to be, within the next 48 hours. But it's not like they really need to interview him. They've seen him up close. They know how he works. They know what kind of coordinator he would be. They believe they know what kind of head coach he is going to be if he gets the opportunity. This certainly is one to keep an eye on, and it makes a lot of sense for all parties on this one.
Hugh, I'm not surprised he's getting this interview, and I'm not going to fault any coach for taking interviews, right? He's trying to become a head coach. It's just, it's a lot. Like, it's not just one. He has three interviews between today and tomorrow as they get set for the biggest game of the season. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is. But think about it like this, Joe. I mean, and I can't be a hypocrite in this situation because I kind of did the same thing when I came here. I was working at another station, and, you can't talk about it. You can't talk about it because if it goes south, you know. Luckily for me, it's in the same company, so it was not that big of a deal. You have to take opportunities if they present themselves. This is the nature of the beast, especially when it comes to business. And whether we want to agree with it or not, the NFL is a business. It's a billion-dollar business. And these coaches get these opportunities that they cannot pass up. You know what's interesting in this, and I know you're probably going to mention it a little later, about what Kingsbury and the way that he's handling his situation.
So let's throw it out there. So Cliff Kingsbury, the coordinator, obviously, of the Commanders, they're playing tomorrow night. He said he's not doing any interviews until the Commanders' run is over, which very likely could cost him head coaching opportunities.
Yes.
But he said, it's my interpretation, this is not his quote, he's fully locked in to getting Jaden Daniels ready to play tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are going to see that and be like, well, look at Coach Kingsbury, and he's the guy. But think about it like this, folks. That's the same cat that when he got fired, he jumped on a plane to Taiwan and said, don't even holler at me. I'm out.
So you're saying he's different?
He's different.
Okay.
And ain't nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is, knowing what we know about these head coaching opportunities, the ones that get them are the ones that teams are willing to wait for. Now, there might be a team that look at him and say, okay, he's our guy regardless to what's going on. We want to hire him. That might be the case. But for a lot of guys, that's not the case. And you have to do what you have to do in order to put yourself in position to be successful. Kellen Moore's name didn't get hot in this coaching search until a lot, like it was like four or five other coaches got fired. Then it became one of those ones where you started vetting a lot of coaches. Hell, they were vetting coaches. The Jets were. Like every week I get an alert from a coach that was vetted from the Jets from a name that I haven't heard in a while.
I'm waiting for your name to be in the Jets.
No,
cycle.
They're definitely not vetting my name. But it was, it's one of those things where you're hearing coaches' names. So I think Kingsbury and his situation, he doesn't care. He's going to stay where he is, and he knows that that's probably going to happen. But Kellen Moore, this is what he's been working on. He was in line for a head coach's job. He was the coach at, San Diego? No, he was offensive coordinator at San Diego.
He was in line
for the Dallas job before until he was blocked.
He interviewed here for head coaching.
He did. Yeah. I mean, he's been on the path. Like, he's got a lot of interviews. He's been a coordinator since he was in his early 30s. Like, this, and especially the Cowboys, I get it. I mean, Kyle, for me, it went to overdrive with the Cowboys thing. The three in 24 yeah. hours here, and the Cowboys, it just doesn't feel right.
So, like, I don't blame Kellen Moore at all, to Hugh's point, for taking this opportunity.
Yeah, I
totally understand that. But for anybody who's saying that this is a non-factor or we shouldn't worry about this, has their head buried 20 inches in the sand.
Like, I thought she was about to say something else.
I'm not going where you're at, Hugh.
They got thick wood, hard. But, no, yeah, I just thought.
So think about it. So if it was one interview, that's one thing. Three interviews before this game. That means, we'll do the math here, he has his head in four different places this week. There's only so many hours in the day. There's only so many days in the week for him to prepare for this game. Like, it's just human nature. To use the example from Hugh, Hugh couldn't even balance Atlanta and Philly without slipping up and giving us a good morning Atlanta early on in our show. I mean, who's to say that, you know, if Kellen Moore is the sharpest dude on the planet, that, you know, one of these things don't get mixed up in his head? Like, he's got to watch tape now for four different teams this week. That any way you slice that, that's worrisome.
Well, not really. Because, like, I would say probably three, because he knows the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, all right, but he still them. Needs to watch their tape from this year. He hasn't been there for 2 years.
I think that in this situation, and I don't know, because, again, I've never interviewed for a head coaching job. You're familiar with some of the key players on every team. If you're a coach, you have a board. You have a whiteboard in your office that has all 32 teams and their key players. Like every coach, I have never been in a building, an NFL, in a facility that didn't have that board. So you're familiar. You're somewhat familiar with everybody. I think the biggest thing with a interview like that is, how are you going to make my team better?
Well, that's my thing. Like, if Kellen Moore really wants one of those jobs, he's not going to half-ass his preparation for any of those.
Also, every minute spent thinking about those jobs is one less minute spent thinking
correct.
About the Rams.
Like, and he's not taking these interviews just because he wants his name out there or whatever. Like, he clearly wants a head coaching job. Focus has got to be on those things if he wants it.
And I'm not trying to say that he's not focused on this, but what I'm saying is this. Is that as a coach, I would think that because of the fact that you know about every team, that's not a whole lot of preparation that you have to do. That's not a whole lot of time.
I couldn't disagree more.
Kyle, they know. I could walk into the Eagles right now, today, and I could walk into their draft room. I could walk into their war room, and every team is on the board with every player that's on that team.
So it's a huge perspective. It feels like that he won't spend that much time pre-interview getting ready.
Well, then he's not going to get the job.
Well, maybe.
That's my
maybe.
Point. But, if he wants the job, he's got to take it seriously.
No, but he's familiar with.
Yeah, probably.
Like, he has this philosophy. Like, if anything, in a job interview, you're going to tell the employer, how are you going to make my team better? My thing is this, Kyle. He's already somewhat familiar. It might not be familiar to the point that you're thinking, but he's somewhat familiar about the team that he's talking about.
But it's been 2 years since he's been there. So there's a lot of changes on the roster, right? They're going to ask him, again, if we're talking about a serious job interview here, they're going to say, what do you think about this position group, that position group? That requires him watching film, doing research. Like, I don't think this is a thing where he can just have some small level of familiarity with the team and go and get the job. If he wants this job, if he's serious about getting the job, he's going to bust his ass learning about that team. Like, I just think that's a fact.
Here's what's not debatable.
I don't think that's
realistic. So we could debate how much time he's going to spend preparing. The one or two, I don't know how long these interviews go. Sometimes they go really long, sometimes maybe shorter. The 1 or 2 or 3 hours he's going to spend with each team, that's 1 or 2 or 3 hours this week. He will not be thinking about the Rams. Like, that's the fact.
And that's the interview itself.
What about him preparing himself?
This is
going to be the ultimate we're reacting now, but like, we're going to react on the results. Eagles win this game 30-7. We forget about this
Kellen
on Monday.
Moore's fault.
But if they go out there and they lay an egg on offense, and there's analysts on Monday saying no one was open, of course we're going to say, like, where was the head? Where was the offensive coordinator's head?
And it could end up being it could end up with the results of the game being a non-issue. But I think to sit here and tell somebody not to like even think about it, or it's a non-factor, is just flat out incorrect.
And also, this is mostly the NFL's fault. That this is the way the structure is. I don't blame him for taking the interview, but here's what I'm asking out of Kellen this week. Don't sleep. If you want to spend time, then it better come out of your sleep time, Kellen. I need you to prepare for the Rams.
Don't have your head up your butt.
That's right. Not better not on Sunday. All right. 215-592-9494. Sirianni press conference earlier today asked about Kellen Moore. Here's what the head coach said about his coordinator.
Nick, how involved, it's reported that Kellen Moore has 3 interviews over the next few days. How involved are you when it comes to making sure he's still, you know, in all the meetings, doing as much work while also allowing him to do those interviews?
Yeah, he'll be in all the meetings and doing all his work. There's no doubt that he has been all week, and he's done everything the way he's needed to do it to get ourselves ready for this. You know, I think there's sometimes a misconception of coaches that, like, at the end of the week you don't get any time to relax. Like, there is a time, you know, on Fridays and Saturday afternoons where you do that. And those are the times, you know, that in these scenarios guys get to, you know, have earned the right to interview for jobs. And I think that we're not the only ones in this position. There's a lot of teams that are still going this weekend that are having guys do this as well. So Kellen's ready. Has our team ready. He's handled it a big time all week, which really I never thought that he wouldn't. So he's handled it like a pro.
So I hope Sirianni's accurate on that. I mean, I don't expect him to also go to the podium and be like, yeah, you know, I noticed he'd be really distracted this week, so we're screwed. I mean, he's going to say that. He's going to root for his coordinator to get a job. I mean, that's I didn't expect anything less out of Sirianni there. We better be buttoned up.
But you know what the irony is that we killed another coach a couple years ago for doing this exact same thing.
And what happened?
They lost.
But see, that story. This is the difference. We found that out after the fact. We kind of found that out after everything
went down. He was being dishonest.
Yeah, he was. So this is a little bit different. But, yeah, people are going to be looking at Coach Goober with the side eye.
It's the number interviews for me. Yeah. One or two.
The hell you doing?
Jaguars, Saints. I was ready. But the Cowboys as interview number three.
These interviews are easy.
Easy?
I could do these interviews. But your team, like Dallas Cowboys, your team is garbage.
This is where I think you're out of your mind.
No, I'm telling you. This is what I would say.
Then you're not going to get the job.
I would get the job.
No, you're not.
Your team is garbage.
Oh, my
goodness. Need a quarterback. Jacksonville Jaguars, your team is garbage. You need a quarterback. Who else are you interviewing with?
Saints.
Garbage. You need a quarterback.
Maybe this is why you're not a head coach and sitting next to me for four hours.
Who's the third? Who's the fourth one?
No, just three.
That's it? Garbage.
You going to throw a fourth one on there?
No, I'm just saying, garbage. Y'all need a quarterback.
We got a game to win.
Hey, dog. Like, listen. They say, hey, how can you make our team better? First of all, get ready a quarterback. Number one, get ready a quarterback. Because all three teams that you're talking about need a quarterback.
I think the next Hard Knocks is coaching interviews Hard Knocks, and I want a camera on Hugh as he goes to different interviews. What's wrong with your team?
Garbage.
Your quarterback you paid stinks. Let's start there. Let's go to the phone lines here. 215-592-949 for Joseph's in Philadelphia. Hey, Joseph.
What's going on, people?
What's up?
What's up? Oh, man. I feel so confident that we're going to be nail-biting to the clock hit zero. Like, I feel like this is going to be a defensive game, and I'm confident in our defense. I'm confident in the offense. I know Hurts is going to do his thing. I never worry about Hurts because he always comes out with a win. But I feel like this is going to end up how, you know, Belichick and Nate and the Rams, Super Bowl, it was a defensive battle. It's going to be a low-scoring game. You know, people wasn't popping off. I feel confident that even if they got Puka Nacua, we're going to lock them down, and they're going to have trouble getting in the end zone, in the red zone. But, like, we've been struggling in the red zone as well. So I really hope they rely, you know, scheme-wise, getting through on the ground because Saquon is special. You know, and I hope, honestly, we can get another backwards hurdle if that happens. And, I mean, then I won't even worry until the, you know. But I feel like we're going to have a slow start in the first half. And, you know, the Rams might even be up 7-0. But if we can hold them to that, I do believe we're going to come back in the second half like we always do.
Man, ain't nobody trying to watch no game with the Rams winning. We ain't trying to do that. What are we doing?
How about the offense gets going early?
Look, I don't want that to be the case. But if it's the case, if we can hold them to just one score throughout the first half, even if we do get a lead, if we can hold them to one score within the first half, then I'm not going to worry the rest of the game because I know we're going to come back during the second half.
Well, and that's been the formula. The Eagles have been incredible in the second half, Joseph. Good phone call. I mean, that's when their run game really hits.
I like that.
You don't like that idea of going down?
Going down 7 points.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
I want to avoid that too. I mean, I'd like to get the lead, hold the lead, go up big. Yeah. That would be ideal. Then I could be.
How many games have we trailed in this year?
They
came back to win.
The Ravens, they were down 9-0.
Was it Cincinnati?
Over to the Packers in the beginning of the season, right?
Cincinnati too.
Cincinnati?
They had a long first drive.
Yeah, okay.
That's happened a few times it looked like the defense might start a little shaky. I mean, the Bucs game we lost.
Right.
But teams have started, it's not just offensive slow starts we've had. The defense isn't always totally sound. Like, a lot of games, way more often than the offense it has been. But there have been games where the defense has sort of slipped up in the beginning of the game and adjusted and got stronger.
So, I haven't looked at this in a while, but I would imagine the Eagles' first half scoring margin is not that great. And the second half is amazing. Doesn't it feel like every second half we pull away, like we dominate the second half? The first half's, I'm trying to think of games this year where the game was like over in the first half, where they were blowing the opponent out so much at halftime you knew it was. I think the Rams game that we won 37-20, wasn't it 10-10 at half or 13-10? We didn't blow the doors off the Rams in the first half of the game in L.A., but then the second half, Saquon, 70 yards, and then they stop him, and then he does it again, and then by the end, it's just like they pull away. Let's go to Tyler in Delaware. What's up, Tyler?
Tyler.
Yo, Joe, Hugh, Kyle, happy divisional round. Football Friday, gents.
Let's go, Tyler. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Hugh.
Yes.
Hugh, I have had this bottled up inside me, first of all. As Joe knows, I do the weather forecast known as the Daily Forecast on my Instagram and live for times like this where we get snow. I get the facts and I tell it as it is. It's safe to say we'll have an inch or two at kickoff and 3.5 inches by the fourth quarter. All right, 10-mile-an-hour winds out of the north-northwest, gusts up to 20, temperatures hanging around 32 to 33 with the temperature dropping. Joe, when you and Hugh are doing pregame, you'll see it falling. It's not going to fall and stick on the sidewalk just yet, but it's going to be a heavy, wet snow, and it's got more water content in it. So don't overhype it that we'll be getting a foot of snow like we did back in 2013.
But don't overhype it, Joe.
Snow nonetheless.
Gonna be
okay, so this is our second forecast here that says, just temper your expectations for the snow. We're going to have snow, but don't overhype it. All right, I'll write that down, Tyler.
Exactly. Joe, I was in the building the last time there was that snow game. I did the same thing as you. The last snow game the Eagles played in, December 8th, 2013. Let me hit y'all with this. Stafford was on the Lions. Was their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He went 10 for 25 for 151 yards. He hit Calvin Johnson for 133-yard bomb in the first quarter, and then the rest of the game was quiet for 2 catches and 19 combined yards the rest of the day. Nick Foles was our quarterback, went 11 for 22 for 179 yards, had a touchdown to DeSean Jackson in the back right corner of the end zone, and had one interception. But do you know what Shady did? Shady in the snow, before Saquon broke his record against these same Rams that they are about to play, went for 29 carries, went for 217 yards, 2 TDs, and a 57-yard run through the snow that will live in Philadelphia lore and NFL lore as one of the greatest single snow games in NFL history. Joe and Hugh, this Sunday, Saquon is due for a ground and pound day, okay? 200 yards on the ground.
There we go.
Jalen has been smart with the ball and not turned the ball over. This offensive line is the best in football, not just in the NFC, but in all of the National Football League. Mixing a little play action with A.J., Smitty, that bad boy who got the scepter on NFL Network, Dallas Goedert, and it's going to be a good day. Where's that Rocky music? You think Trotter Jr. is going to be fired up? This is time to deliver in these times of clutch hope. This is what we live for. Zach Bowen wants to not just get paid. He wants to get to the NFC Championship game. Cooper, Quinion, Big Play, Darius Slay, Milton Williams. They are our Philly dogs in the trenches. We have the backbone in this city. We have the aura to speak it into existence and win.
dare you, baby. We are going to set the tone. We are going to impose our will. And we are going to remember what it was like when we fell in love with football as kids and had that childlike joy of winning in the snow. Everybody, this has been a season of overcoming obstacles first. We beat the Bengals for the first time in Cincinnati. We beat the Ravens for the first time in Baltimore. And this will be the first time in 75 years in the current era of NFL football that the Eagles will beat the Rams in the playoffs. I know I'm not Chuck from out here. I'm not Ocean Wade and the four-point system. I'm not Rios from North Philly. I'm not even Dustin from Tennessee. But dang it, I'm Tyler the Fourth Ross from the 302 and Delaware. Represent the 5 forever. Okay? It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you get
hit.
On it. And you beat moving forward. The Eagles are going the distance. Say it with me, Joe, you and Kyle.
I got confused. Lux, I'm not the only one.
Tyler, that was hell of a phone call.
I thought he wanted to say the Eagles were going to go to business.
Well, no, I thought we were doing E. Yeah, but he went to beat L.A.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, I like this passion.
Tyler, that was the best one of the day. Tyler, I'm as confident as I've been all day. All right, let's hit a little Q&A here. I got a question for you.
Yes.
Get to know the Midday Show. This is Q&A on 94 WIP.
Q&A is sponsored by the Junk at the Inn. Award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the Jug.
All right, Hugh. Snow games. Did you like them? Did you hate them? What did you feel on a snow game?
I didn't like snow games, especially when I was out there trying to get, like, quarterback sacks. I wanted to get sacks in games like this, and every time I would look at the weather report, when it was snowing or if it was raining, I'd be like, damn, they ain't gonna throw the ball that much. And when they do, it's just going to be harder because it's hard to get footing. It's hard to get off the ball quickly and stuff like that. So, yeah, I used to hate games like this.
Snow game coming up on Sunday. But as we're finding out from our amateur meteorologist, maybe not quite as bad as the forecast.